Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Good evening, Ronnie.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. How you doing, Jackie?
Great.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly.
Or something. Well, welcome everyone in tonight's show, the month of December. Is it heaven or is it hell? I just couldn't think of anything more appropriate for this season, especially with all the energies coming in. And tonight I'd like to do a show dedication for peace, comfort, and love to all humans during this holiday season. I would wish it for them all the time, but especially right now, since this is always a very difficult time on the planet for everyone. Energies are very intense and high, and especially right now, brings up a lot of sadness for people, so especially those that don't have. You know, we're all very fortunate listening to this show that we have shelter and food and someone somewhere to love.
It also brings up terrific memories, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and we're going to get into that tonight in a big way. Before we begin tonight's show, though, I'd love to share an email that we haven't heard from Squirrel for a while, and Squirrel came down to Vegas for an event. She's our very humorous writer, and so she sent this darling email, and I'm going to share it with you real quick here. Dear Jackie, Ronnie, and the team, a few short weeks ago, I visited Mecca. No, it's not necessary to make the pilgrimage to Saudi Arabia. Anyone can make this trek if one desires, as this Mecca is within the lower 48. In fact, all one needs is an airline ticket to Las Vegas. I've known about this spiritual place as I have eagerly listened to the ET Healing radio show on Thursday evenings. What finally piqued my curiosity to make this pilgrimage was when Jackie would talk about her sessions, power retrievals with her clients in her healing room. A healing room, I thought, sounded deliciously inviting to my curious soul. Many times her healing room has been mentioned in her broadcast with Veronica, and I knew that someday I, too, would place my human body on Jackie's healing table. That opportunity manifested for me early this December. What I want to relay to all of Jackie's clients and listeners is that if you can make the trip to Vegas for a live in-person session with Jackie, by all means do it. I've had several phone sessions with Jackie and the team, which have all been excruciatingly transformational. But to actually be in that special room, well, all I can say is it's a magical experience into a different dimension. I wonder if this was my initial introduction to multidimensionality, maybe. When I first stepped into the room, I welled up with tears and had the sensation of being home and safe. The room was filled with crystals, soft crimson lighting, luxurious ornamental fabrics, which all create the sensation of being surrounded in unconditional love. True bliss and peace, well, until the power retrieval began. Honestly, I would have stayed there all day if possible. I want to add that Jackie's entire house and neighborhood will ignite your passion and chakras. And I thought all the action was on the Las Vegas Strip. Silly me. Thank you again, Jackie, for inviting me into your home. It was an awakening experience that I truly encourage to remain in my cellular memory forever. Wishing all an abundant joy, peace, love, and light in the new year. Squirrel. And I just want to mention a cute side note. Squirrel spent the night here, and she wanted to sleep with one of the crystals from the healing room, so I gave her two. One was to ground her. I have a huge obsidian that I actually keep on a stool where I sit and put my feet on it. And the other's quite transformational. And the next morning she told me they were levitating off the bed for a while until she finally got them to settle down. So, okay, the energies of December. I really encourage everyone to buckle up here. And I'm just going to read some highlights from something I received from two very powerful people on the planet. I thought it was interesting that they both are in Florida, by the way, but are totally unrelated to one another. And unfortunately, I don't remember who, this is a friend of one of them. I'm just going to read some highlights. Our powerful and rare winter solstice this Friday and Saturday. That's this Friday and Saturday. This is the most powerful solstice that we've had in modern or ancient history. The solstice is when the sun moves into the sign of Capricorn and our days start getting longer. Return of the sun, S-U-N, / sun, S-O-N. This solstice is so rare that no one knows how long ago this lineup actually last occurred. We're sure it hasn't happened in the last 26,000 years. That means we have no data on what to expect. Now, the galactic center and, you know, other stuff that we've gotten has said that that happened around the 26th of November, I believe it was. However, we're still in this, and it's with Pluto, the Sun, Jupiter, and Mercury all within 6 degrees of each other, and opposite our retrograde Mars. Anyway, we're going to hit this about the 23rd. And then the moon comes along, joins Mars, and covers the galactic center in the center of the sacred hoop of stars recognized by the Native Americans. Best guess is that we're headed for major evolutionary and transformational growth. It's so big that we might feel like we're getting sucked into the proverbial black hole. I had to laugh when I read this, by the way, because I'm seeing it in the session. She also refers again to a wonderful website in terms of the ascension, what we're going through in terms of planetary ascension. It's www.whatsuponplanetearth.com, and that's W-A-T-S up on planetearth.com. You know, she goes on to say, what do you sit quietly, tune into or drink up the energy? The actual solstice occurs for those on the West Coast at 10.09 p.m. on the 21st, and on the East Coast it's 1.09 a.m. on the 22nd. Again, she indicates, don't worry about the exact timing because the energies are so powerful you're going to get. We're already feeling it, and I can tell you that right now because it's just pretty insane out there. It's really a time to sit and think about what brings us joy. And also, how can each one of you contribute to raising our consciousness so that planet that we live on can be sustained, and to do it in a way that brings us all joy. This is, you know, and then in January, of course, Pluto then changes into the sign of Capricorn on the 26th of January. This hasn't happened since 1762. Oh, God. You know, we're moving into transforming the structures of our world, including structures and processes of business, governments, and capitalism. Where will all this lead? Hopefully to a planet that can be sustained instead of destroyed by our businesses, governments, consumers, and capitalism. I think this is all kind of powerful considering we're in Christmas time right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she goes on to talk about the energies between 2012 and 15, where the energies of Uranus squares Pluto, and, you know, we're going to get into that. There will certainly be lots of stuff coming up around that. These revolutions is, of course, a revolution in consciousness, and which obviously is the only thing that can save our planet. So, you know, what does all this mean to us? And, you know, I think that what I'm seeing, you know, right now is that, and I'm going to get into this later, some of the things that are coming up in the sessions are things that I have never, ever, ever, ever seen before, couldn't even imagine, you know, even with me, and I always figure I'm out there, Ronnie and I were talking tonight before the show, and I was laughing that my head hurts all the time to touch it. You know, my crown chakra never gets to calm down unless I can find a way to be about 3 days away from sessions. If I can manage about 3 days with no sessions, then I can actually touch my head comfortably. But the rest of the time, I feel like I'm stretched to the max all the time. Because as a human, even trying to take in what's going on, it is it is a constant challenge because it's so far off the map, outside of the box of what we think is possible. And it's accelerating it in such a dramatic fashion right now that I realize that if the sessions are accelerating and the ramifications of what's happening during the sessions are accelerating, then everything's accelerating. I mean, one can't happen without the other.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, with all of that in mind, let's talk about the season of Christmas and what it has to do with the shadow. How's that for no segue?
Seems like you had to dive really deep and go way up there to come up with the shadow this
time. Uh-huh. Well, not really, because I think that Christmas brings up more shadow stuff than any other time. And, you know, it begins in childhood when we're told that we're going to be rewarded for how good we've been. And that Santa keeps a list. I love them. It's in the songs, people, you know. Keeping a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice. And, you know, this is...
You're supposed to do both, aren't you?
I don't know of any child who has not been disappointed at Christmas for whatever reason. And, of course, if you grew up on a farm, maybe you didn't experience this. But most children, regardless of what gifts they got, always found other children who got something better or something they really wanted and then had to, in their little minds, try to figure out why they didn't get what it was that they had asked for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today's children are pretty much getting everything they want. But for those that are listening to the show tonight, we've all gone through this experience of disappointment at Christmas. Every one of us. I mean, how about you, Ronnie?
Oh, yeah, I have, really. I have a real mixed pile of memories. Some are real dreamlike and magical as well.
Well, and I would agree with that.
Because it's kind of an ambiance, which I love.
As a child, again, I had the luxury of some fantasy, thank heaven, at least for some period of time. And the majority of Christmases for children growing up, and this is, again, where it really goes into the shadow, how many people have memories that aren't idealized? And the idealization comes from all of the media that supports what the Christmas season is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're getting blasted with it on television and radio constantly, and you're seeing families and the beautiful meal and the Christmas tree and all the parties. But the truth of it is that most people, even when they're partaking in all of this, are dealing with some form of anticlimactic disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
That's my perception. What about you?
I think so. I think losses are accentuated. There's a lot of sort of stifled sadness, so there's a lot of sad feelings that are just permeating the rooms as well.
Exactly. And I think also that people seek to try to recapture the idealized joy of their childhood. But to me, the rub is always that most children didn't have that much joy.
Hmm.
I mean, there's that moment of Christmas morning. There's the build-up, which is all the excitement. There's the moment of Christmas morning, and I have watched this in adults over and over and over again who have never healed their child, and watched them try to recapture Christmas either through their children, their grandchildren, or through their, I have one friend who never had children. And, you know, her parents, even when she was in her 50s, would fill one whole room with Christmas presents.
Oh, I have an ex-boyfriend whose family did that.
And it was hours of everybody opening gifts. I mean, down to a spatula. Did you see that too, Veronica?
Yeah, but I saw things like couches, pieces of furniture, humongous gifts and so on. It was very overwhelming, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And
they were all people with money, so they didn't, you know, it was interesting. It was like they didn't really need the gifts in the sense of, like, you need a new pair of jeans this year for Christmas. It wasn't like that. It was people with money, actually.
Which I think is actually more difficult, by the way.
I sort of found it kind of discombobulating. I wasn't quite sure what to do.
Well, I had, with all the foster homes, I had one family who were very, very wealthy, and I kind of would visit with them from the time I was 5 till I was 16. And, you know, I was always fast. I was always studying people around Christmas because I was always in some home somewhere and trying to understand what the dynamics were in each household, you know, what set up the Christmas time. And I mean, I already knew going in that I was going to be disappointed, so it allowed me to kind of sit back and observe.
Why did you know that? Where do you think that started?
Well, because I was a foster child, so it was never, you know, you were kind of the odd man out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you recognized that it wasn't really for you, it was for the other children, so you became the observer, or I did. I became the observer of the dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fascination for me. And, you know, what I did see, not for me so much, but I saw it in other children, is that it was the beginning of the realization that life wasn't fair. Now, you know, that may, I could feel you just twist with me there. Okay?
No, I didn't actually. I'm just cogitating, which I tend to do. And I just hadn't thought about it that way. I think I was born saying life wasn't fair, actually.
Well, it's an interesting thing because for children, you know, you after Christmas morning, of course, you share with all your friends what everybody got. And inevitably or invariably, you know, somebody got what it was you really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And while you still believe in Santa Claus, okay, there is this kind of sense of shame that creeps in that obviously you weren't good enough and they were. And if you knew that they weren't a good kid, then set in the whole realization life's not fair. Then
well, I think that's a really interesting how we confuse, and you and I laughed about this in a prior show, that we confuse Santa Claus with God at a certain level.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Because he is God-like. And there is that projection, of course, the beard, the white hair, and so on. There is
and
that projection.
And the list making.
The list. Yeah, the list.
The list.
So what happens then as adults, okay, well, first of all, we start shoving all this stuff into the shadow, all the disappointment and so on, because, okay, it's Christmas, you know.
You're supposed
and
to get over
shame
it, right?
Involved, you know, you're not going to walk around and go, well, why did they get that? I didn't, you know, some kids do, but. And, of course, comes the betrayal in here that there is no Santa. And, you know, that's something that I was always fascinated by. You know, what do children do with that concept?
Did you ever believe in Santa?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember being 3 and believing in Santa.
Hmm.
That's pretty much all I remember, but you know, then you know, we stuff lots of things into the shadow, and then we try to recapture those things through each holiday. You know, we keep digging. We don't know what we're digging for. You know, our families never act the way that you want them to, and there's always either, you know, relief that the holidays are over, or some deep disappointment. You know, then you become a parent, and you do for your children, and they're never as excited as you hope they'll be, because in essence, what you're really trying to do is relive your own childhood through them. You know, how many parents are out there stretching themselves to the max, trying to give to their kids what they never got?
Right. That's
and then
true.
Disappointed because their children don't appreciate it. I mean, of course, I've seen this through my own grandchildren over and over again. But because we've idealized Christmas through the media, through stories, through movies, there is also this built-in disappointment that we can never recapture, no matter what we do.
I mean, you could never recapture the innocence and the
never
eagerness.
Never, 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 never. So then we go back, of course, and we visit our families during holiday time. And what we do is stir up the chain of pain and the disappointment over and over and over again. Because now, Veronica, you come from a large family. I don't, you know, but again, living in the foster homes and, you know, being exposed to so many people in my life and spending Christmases, interestingly enough, with so many different people, not only growing up but as an adult and with my husband's family and so on. You know, I always saw that this energy would come up and problems would come up around Christmas between families. You know, there was always somebody who was feeling slighted. You know, you didn't go to this house, you went to that house. Some people didn't like that kind of food. So, of course, I was around Italians and everybody had, you know, liked the way their mom did, you know, Christmas.
I had a little bit of a different experience where I'd been married for 10, 11 years, and my husband died. And then all of a sudden, at Christmas, there was this, like, huge hole, not just that he was missing, but I didn't fit anymore.
Right.
And the traditions were just, like, wafting feelings and memory. It was very difficult. I did not do Christmas for a few years after that. Did a lot of movies.
Right. And
I think that's what happens to a lot of people, actually.
It's interesting that you would bring that up because I've seen that in my own life, and I've seen that with my daughter as well when she went through her divorce, her last divorce, where Christmas was very painful after her divorce. And for me, after the end of my last relationship, it was just not something I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
It brought up too many memories, and it was just, too painful. I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, and that joyful, excitement, bizarre stuff that goes on is just so grating. It's just almost terrifying in a way.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Actually, the most fun I ever had with Christmas is I used to open my house up to all of our employees.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah.
And I would just cook and cook and cook and cook and then rent banquet tables. And, you know, I just had people coming and going, you know, for 2 days.
Oh, that's cool.
And I loved that. That was easy because it got away from some of the mania. In that it just became like a giant open house, and it was lots of fun to me. And it generally, people who didn't have families to go to, and I, you know, up until a year ago, I still had people calling to remind me of those times, and then the last one died. And but then, you know, people go through this mania of Christmas shopping and wrapping and spending and pressure and traffic and you know, overspending, and then it's all over and the letdown comes, and this deep sense of disappointment and the anticlimactic feeling after the build-up, the exhaustion, so for a lot of people, they've experienced any piece of this, and have, you know, and of course we know that during the holiday season that this is when more suicides occur than at any other time. ever. And again, that's something that's always fascinated me, that people get incredibly lonely during the holidays.
Because I believe that that energy, those feelings of loss and kind of screwy anticipation and so on, the unrealistic part, that just permeates the streets, doesn't it?
It permeates our media.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've watched any of the commercials, but
I try not to.
Yeah, I do too. But, you know, I do, in the holiday season, I do, because, again, I'm always fascinated by human consciousness, the way we respond,
mm-hmm.
and the way it's marketed to us. And it's almost as though we are guilted into creating this experience. And to any mother out there, okay, you all know how damn hard Christmas is.
You walk into a store and there's all these racks of stuff for kids right by the cash registers or, yeah, it's really...
Well, and it's not, I mean, it's fun to do for the children. That's, you know, it's the thing that, and believe me, I did this, you know, with all the wrapping and all the, you know, and it was an event, you know, it was an event. My ex-husband had a way of, he would wait till like 2 days before Christmas, wouldn't give me money for Christmas till like 2 days before. So then it was like this big race. You know, the family all knew that we had to race out to get whatever it was. And, you know, that would never happen today. But but you know, I have this wonderful friend, and we were talking earlier about her, who I consider to be just my normal friend, my wonderful, you know, she and her husband, I love them and I adore them, and they're the people, when I just want to be, I go and visit them, and they don't care about my work, what I do, nothing, okay? They call me Jack the Whack, you know, that's from the planet of Wackovia. And
that sounds about right, eh?
Yes, it does. And but absolutely, totally love me. And watching, I've spent years around them, watching their holiday seasons and, you know, studying them as people, because I was so fascinated. Italian family, incredibly loving, very close, and children, grandchildren, extended family. And you know, it was always wonderful to me to watch the holidays and what everybody did and how they did it. And you know, it was the closest thing to normalcy I have ever experienced, and I've always enjoyed that. And I had the luxury of being around them for, I don't know, probably 6-7 years, which was really quite great. And that was when Christmas was actually fun for me. There wasn't any of the heavy, I also wasn't around my own family, so it was very healthy.
Do you think they're the group of people in the society that actually promote this illusion?
Well, they seem to function within it very, very well.
Good for them.
I don't know that there's a lot of them, to be honest with you, but there are enough of them that do function well within it.
I have to say that I had some absolutely wonderful Christmases where we gathered some single people and created just a huge, like a rebirth festivity. It wasn't about gifts. It was about dancing and potlucking. And, you know, I remember one year we had everything from borscht to, I don't know, everybody brought in whatever was their ethnic preference. And it was just so exciting, so fun.
Now, that's wonderful. That's a celebration.
And it was, we were consciously creating our own ambiance, you know. I did that several times, but one of them, I think there were about 12, 14 people for dinner, and it was just very fun.
That, to me, is really what the celebration of the time of year is about. And
because it was really celebrating each other. We were very conscious of
that. Well, and that is marvelous. That, you know, if for any of you listening out there, if you can create that, God bless you. You know, unfortunately, I work so hard, I don't have time to do those things. And I need to make time. I know that. That's, you know, the work has been probably more important than anything to me in the last 3.5 years, so I haven't had that luxury. But I want to throw in here, of course, we have also the whole concept of the birth of Christ. And, you know, I've always been fascinated how you put Christmas and Santa Claus together with the birth of Christ. And, you know, and now I have to tell you that the team, you know, and all those that work with me on the other side, and I don't know them all, but, you know, some of them, you know, in my own sharing with them, there's kind of a guffaw about our traditions. Not that they don't honor, you know, because it's important to us, but the way that we get caught up in them and the way they get twisted, there is a guffaw.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to think about the fact that this is, the only planet that all of this stuff is celebrated on. Which is the part that makes me giggle.
That makes me guffaw as you say that, because here I'm staring at a kind of a double helix looking spiraling plastic tree with lights all through it, you know.
Right.
I bet you they're loving this little guy here.
Well, you know, if one of them shows up with a Santa hat on, I'm losing it. I just want you to all know.
Sometimes my guides show up with amazing costumes on. One time one of them showed up looking like the good witch in Wizard of Oz. I was doing the reading. I go, nice duds. Who on earth would wear a belt if you were in the etheric? I mean, think about it.
Well, actually, there was, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but there was, actually, my little Millie dog was named after a being by the name of Amelia.
Mm-hmm.
And a good friend of mine used to channel her, and I was very close to Amelia. This was a wonderful relationship that I had on the other side of the veil and through this friend, and I adored her, and she wanted to be depicted, and so another friend of ours who was an artist did a painting of her, and she insisted on having a belt.
Oh, interesting.
And she had this stunning belt. It was in one of her, she was very multidimensional, but she wanted to be depicted in her very pretty look, not in, you know, captain of a big ship or any of that, because she would come in various of her lifetimes and switch oftentimes during the channeling. And so when I got my little Millie girl, I asked if I could name her after her, and I had to get her permission. I felt that that was only appropriate. And she was really quite excited about that. So that's who Amelia was named after. And but definitely she wanted a belt, and it was quite stunning, by the way.
Okay, I have to rethink this.
Yeah, oh no. No, I mean...
it just feels like when you're in the etheric, you could just... And probably they can think the belt, too, because you could just think your way and intend your way into a wonderful radiance and wafting movement without being trapped.
Well, there is a being, and people who have had the healing disc put in during the sessions into their hand, named Herfel. And she is, and she comes with guards. I mean, she comes with entourage. And she is really quite magnificent. And she's in as Brittany, you know, the one that opened when I did, the young girl describes her with lots of bling, and all in gold and so on. And when she puts the healing disc into people's hands, she then literally throws strands of gold all over them. And it was interesting, I had a good friend here one day who was wanted to do some work. She actually wanted to do some work with the ETs on the mother of Brittany. And she was throwing these strands as she was working. They were working through her. And, of course, it was Herfel. And it was so interesting that she didn't know anything about Herfel, but she knew about the strands of gold and literally surrounding and covering this woman and the mother of Brittany in gold.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So there are some that come in very grand, very, very grand and quite high. And I'm with you. I mean, we tend to think of them as pretty simple, but I would say that that's anything but the case. Some are, mm-hmm. and some are really quite grand. And they, you know, this is where I really am convinced there is a cosmic hierarchy. I've come to understand that one quite.
Oh, I love the grand part. I think that's just great.
Well,
of course, I'm a grandmother. Maybe that's why.
Well, I've had another one that came in who was from Arcturus, and he had all kinds of badges and things, all, you know, medals, but they were like badges all up and down the front of, and epaulets, and, you know, walked quite, you know, he strutted, he didn't walk. Very authoritative. And, you know, it's interesting. There are a lot of interesting beings on the other side of the veil.
I'm sure it's infinite, isn't it?
There is no end to it.
Mm-hmm.
So back to Jesus. And, it, you know, again, this is, you know, and it's really not such a stretch, because for those of you who are not certain, and I will say, make this statement, I don't want to offend anyone out there, but believe me, he was not from Earth. And so you know, and I do have to go back to the giggling thing. You know, the our traditions have turned into mania. You know, and this is where we kind of lose it. When you talk about, Veronica, what you did with everybody coming together in this celebration of one another, I think that's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I think that's what it's all about.
It was fun.
Huh?
It was really good, rich fun.
Oh, that is good, rich fun.
Except with our dancing, we kept knocking the Christmas tree over. But otherwise.
But you see, that's true celebration.
Yeah.
Now, Christmas movies, and I have to get into this subject because we are, you know, kind of reading the energy of the planet, what's going on in human consciousness. You know, we certainly know that we're being marketed constantly about spending and what we're to do and extensions of credit everywhere. Regardless,
and it really runs our brain, doesn't it?
Oh. Man, and guilted if we don't get or do the most for people. Christmas movies, I really want to get into this. There was a time, and Ronnie and I were talking about it earlier, every year, the Christmas movie comes out. And I remember the year when E.T. came out, and it was just, you know, that to me was the movie. You know, I just thought that was one of the most wonderful Christmas movies that ever came out.
It was precious. Yeah.
And this year, a friend of mine and his grandchildren went to see this year's Christmas movie, which is The Legend with, I had his name a minute ago. Do you remember what I told you? Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been marketed. Of course, everybody loves Will Smith. I do. And I think he's absolutely great. And I was absolutely blown away that this is what has been released as the Christmas movie of the year, because so many people on Christmas Day go to see the Christmas movie. And this movie, for those of you who have not seen it, is about the end of civilization as we know it. They find a cure for cancer, which turns out to be a virus that basically makes everyone rabid and insane, and literally travels all over the planet. And Will Smith is basically, at least he thinks, the last man on Earth that is not insane. Or, you know, I don't want to go into too much of it because it's I don't want to give people visuals that will be uncomfortable for them. I'm not a violent person, and I'm not into violence. And because of the my level of sensitivity, and I know yours, Veronica, I tend to be anti-violence. I think it stirs up the very basic, very animalistic tendencies in humans, and also. I know you're very sensitive, and I know I am. I don't do well with getting those visuals out.
Mm-hmm.
and tossing them away, so they tend to hang in my consciousness. I would not recommend this movie to anyone who is sensitive.
Isn't it horrifying to think that's the Christmas movie? I mean, what is this?
Well, that was my big problem, is what is, you know, we know that Hollywood is very much tied into if you want to call some of the controlling things that are going on in the planet and promoting what is most appropriate to impact the public. You know, my sensing with this is if you throw things that are so horrendous at people, they'll be grateful for what they have, no matter how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I had to walk away from an experience, I would say that that was it. And, you know, I have this thing that our children are being exposed to so much violence. You know, I heard this for years. You know, all the people that were fighting in wanted ratings on movies and television programs and made-for-TV movies for, you know, PG ratings. And let me tell you, I have never been more behind this than I am today. And for any of you who are buying presents for children and grandchildren, please pay attention to what you're getting. They all want video games, and these video games are loaded with violence. And, I mean, chase scenes where they, you know, take shotguns and just blow people away. This is common fare in the video game. This is shadow stuff, people. This is stuff coming up out of the shadow. When you're talking about the end of the world and the few humans that are left that have turned into such animals that they are not any longer really human, but totally animalistic, and, you know, this with totally animalistic instinct, this is shadow stuff. This is, you know, dealing with your greatest fears. I mean, I thought the slasher movies were bad, but this takes it to a whole new level. And but it also speaks to a part of us, because we're certainly seeing this violence playing out in our schools and our churches.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've had them here in casinos. We've just sporadic, completely violent outbursts that, you know, if you try to understand what made it happen, you really can't get to a real, especially with our young people, it's pretty simple. But these are adults also who have lost all hope and are, you know, we know that with the energy coming onto the planet, it's going to push people.
So this opening of the Galactic Center is bringing up our shadow at a rate that is almost unmanageable, is that?
Well, I think the energies in general for the last several years, beginning in 1987 and certainly then really starting to ramp up in, I believe it was November of 2003 when we had the Harmonic Concordance. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that when the energies came in, I believe it was November 4th, for that particular opening, they were so huge that my blood pressure has never been the same.
Hmm.
I know I had my blood pressure checked shortly after that. I was over 200, over 100. And I'd had no blood pressure problems until that time. I ran low blood pressure.
So what, okay, so if we know they're coming through, and even in your case right there, can we not learn to channel them through and come up with some positive cleaning out of the shadow, positive transformation of the shadow?
Healing.
healing, and more healing.
healing, and more healing.
Mm.
There is, no, you know, no matter how much we've worked on, we all have resistance somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I'm seeing now, and I do want to get into this because people are getting, I'm seeing people just uproot overnight and do the most amazing things. I'm seeing relationships end overnight. I am seeing that have been together for 27 years, whatever, just things all of a sudden, complete change in people's lives. No longer able, and certainly we heard some of this with the opening of the twin flame portal. You know, and my recommendation to people is take time to think before you act. Now, for some people, they've been thinking about this for a long time, and then they have reached a point where that's it, they're done, and they're changing their lives. And that's okay.
So would you say that the energies are such that that's pulling it up and there's a completion going on of what was in our shadow?
I think that there's a completion of contracts happening,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it.
But they're being accelerated.
hugely accelerated. And I think with the opening of the Galactic Center, that our paths are no longer just about our day-to-day lives, but I think they're about a bigger agenda. And I think there is a calling in our very soul that is saying, hey, time to wake up. There's something more. There's something bigger. You know, I'm not recommending that people just, you know, quit their jobs and, you know, pack up and, you know, move to Pakistan or whatever. But,
but to become more authentic, to become in one's power and the journey of one's soul expressing.
The power, you know, we've been doing power retrievals for a while, and, you know, I just kind of follow along. You know, they move from kind of this to this to this, and I'm always kind of behind the curve. I'm not always certain where we're going. I know it's important. But right now, with this opening of the Galactic Center, I absolutely, positively, at least today, God, don't ask me a week from now. Today, I can say to you, oh, my God, I see a much bigger agenda than I ever thought was possible. And
is that good or?
Well, I think it's good. I think it's, for me, it's mind-boggling. The possibilities are absolutely limitless in terms of healing, and I'm going to use your words here, cellular journey. Now, that to me is huge. And what they've been doing is going back and having people choose someone that is very significant to them, be it a parent or a spouse or a lover or whatever, that they sense they've had a galactic history with. In most cases it is parents, but not always. And, you know, I've said this before, there are no small players right now. So anybody that's in your life, even if you think that they're an idiot, okay, is significant. Even if they played a really tough role, they are significant. And they've come in to help you with this lifetime, even as tough as they may have been in your personal experience. And I'm going to talk about one session that I'll try to get through this quickly. Someone that's worked with us for years, okay, very diligent in her work, extraordinary being. And they said to her, we want to do a galactic clearing with you. You know, pick someone that you feel is appropriate. Now, they knew, I mean, the name was already there. They knew who she was going to pick. But they gave her the option. She chose exactly who they knew she was going to pick. And we began the session, which we always do in the second chakra, which tends to carry lineage. I mean, and I mean big lineage. And I can tell you there are times when we may not get out of the second chakra for two sessions. In this particular session, this person happens to carry royal reptilian lineage. And so her friend came in, this one that she was doing the session with, as also, you know, came in, I think it came in its human form, I'm not even sure. But during the session, this being popped in, and it was robed, cloaked. And it was obviously of royal reptilian lineage. There was no question about it. And, you know, the team doesn't say much. They let the person see what's going on. They hold the energy for this all to happen. And this being came in, and it was part of the Illuminati. And did not know. Now, please do not misunderstand. That does not mean that everyone of royal reptilian lineage is of the Illuminati. That's not the case. But there are some that are. This being was shocked that we were there, did not know how we got there, but it awakened this being. And in that moment, it shifted, it changed, and pulled out of what it had been doing. in terms of helping the negative agenda on the planet. Now, I was totally blown away, and the client was sobbing because it was so big. To be a part of something like that, and you know, when you're talking, this is where I think we as humans don't realize how powerful we are. And what I'm seeing is that we are so much more powerful than we have ever imagined. And retrieving that power now is more important than it's ever been. I'm going to read something from someone else who had an equally extraordinary experience, very galactic, I felt, or cellular. When I think of what happened yesterday in my session, all I want to do is go to the dark, comfy room at my higher self's house and sit in the big, overstuffed chair with my head in her lap and a soft afghan over my shoulders and have her hold me. I wanted to say whimper, but not really. Well, okay, maybe a little, which is precisely what I did in meditation. The enormity of this is still sinking in, as is the realization of my power. I mean, man, I did that. I removed those things from myself and from my love. I did that. Yes, with help, but I did that. Wow, I must be powerful. And then she went on to talk about the magic that occurred the very next day as a result of this experience in their interactions. And she further wrote, of course, how could there not be huge change? I think if anyone were to remove such things, that alone would be an accomplishment of a lifetime. And, you know, this the statement here was, okay, the things that came out of that second chakra were so big that there was no question that they had been in there for millennia and millennia and millennia, maybe millions and millions of years. I mean, it defies description to me. But while it was occurring, it was so huge, even to be a participant, even though I'm on the side, the realization of what was occurring was absolutely stunning. And these are two people who have a big impact on the planet anyway. But the realization that we could reach those levels of healing that can change our whole soul path forever in a way that is beyond anything we've ever experienced. And that, to me, is earth-shaking. And that's why I say, with this opening with the Galactic Center, I believe that's where we're going now, with the ability now to totally change our entire soul's path, which means that we are healing our past as well as our future in a way that is so exponential that, you know, I'm not going to get into predictions here in terms of what it's going to do for us as beings. But I know that we are here, all of us, to become God beings. Okay? What I will say is that I'm seeing it unfold before me. And when you can impact the Illuminati, okay, the beings that are assisting the Illuminati and actually awaken them or take something out that's been in there for millions of years. I mean, I'm looking at this opening of the Galactic Center and saying the sky's the limit. There is no limit to where we can go. None.
Excellent.
Does all that make sense, Veronica? I always have to have you as my...
I just want to say... that people at home can do some of this, and we can, the power retrievals are the best, but we can still do things ourselves, can't we?
Yes. Through intention, through mm-hmm. absolutely through intention, begin to, you know, again, I don't want anybody to go into overwhelm here, but over this weekend, certainly I would encourage people to ask for healing of, you know, of your galactic history and
pray to be shown. You know, things can come up that you are shown.
Absolutely. And also your human history. You know, I mean, that's where we want to start, of course, is human history. But also the opening for galactic is very, very, very big. Call in your your star family. You know, whether you can see them or you know them, it's immaterial. They know you.
Mm-hmm.
And they are here now to assist.
Right.
They are looking for people who are going to ask for help. They're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
They are waiting. They've been waiting. But especially now, they can intercede more than they ever have. They can assist you. They can't change it for you.
Excellent.
Which
means it's a wonderful, when you think about the rebirth season of the solstice and Christmas and New Year's and all the others.
Exactly.
It's a conscious, intended seasonal thing is the way to get out of that torment, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And that is the goal. I always sound so preachy. I really don't mean to. And I certainly don't want to bust anybody's fun. If people are out there having fun at Christmas, oh, God bless you.
I think a celebration of rebirth, I mean, using some of these tools and really move into rebirth makes it a whole different festival, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And this year especially, I would say, is the time to really do that. You know, as I told you, I just like to, like, drive to Sedona for 2 days and lock myself in a, you know, little cottage and just sit. Except I'd miss the healing room, but I would say it's a time to take some time out. If it's an hour, great. If you can squeeze an hour out over the weekend just to sit and to really be in these energies, really make your own commitment to really opening up and connecting with your own star families you know, if you're more inclined, again, the angelic realm, everything is working together. Nothing is separate. Nothing is separate. Everything is very tight to the planet during the Christmas season. We all know this. Because the intention for people, truly, people's hearts are open. They are wanting to give and to love and to make it special. And to be in a time of celebration. I love Christmas songs. I love all the Christmas lights, you know. I think it's wonderful. It's not that I'm anti-Christmas.
I like presents, too.
Yes.
But I know, you're right, absolutely.
This is a very special time, everyone, and I could not wish more for anyone out there than I do tonight, and I mean this with all my heart, that everyone's lives are touched in an incredible way over this holiday season, especially over the solstice time and through Christmas, of course, through the new year. You know, we'll be on next week before the new year. I'm excited. I'd love to hear emails from people, receive emails on people who have experiences over the solstice. I'm expecting people to have some real extraordinary experiences. I have people around me right now who are having them, and they're quite extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
I have someone today who has a scent in their home that they've never smelled before. Someone came to their home and said, "What is that?" There was no origin of the scent, but it permeated their entire home. All day long.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's supposed to be the sign of mastery showing up in your world, right?
Well, yes, definitely. The energies of great love and support, and there's a lot going on right now for everyone. A great opportunity. Like I said, invite everyone in. I know we're running up on the hour. Veronica, talk about your show, please.
Okay, next week on Paradigm Shifters, I am going to be interviewed by my stepdaughter, Jane Entwistle, who's an actress from Hollywood.
Oh, how fabulous.
Yes, that'll be on at 5 o'clock Christmas Day.
Beautiful.
So she decided that it was time for that. So we thought it would be fun since we're all going to be here together. And 4 o'clock is my Radiance by Design, and I don't know whether that'll be pre-recorded or what. But,
So right on BBS?
BBS Radio, 4 o'clock Tuesday, Christmas Day, and 5 o'clock Paradigm Shifters, Christmas Day. And I'm really enjoying the people that I'm meeting through that.
Yes, you're doing a fabulous job. And to everyone, I wish you a beautiful, beautiful holiday season.
And to you too, Jackie.
Peace of each and every one of you is in Veronica and I, and a piece of us is in each and every one of you. It can be no other way. We really are all one. And a blessed holiday season to every one of you. We love you. And Ronnie, I love you.
Much love to you, Jackie. Have a wonderful season yourself.
Thank you so much. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah. No, I'm on the air. Hi, how you doing? This is Wesley Snipes, and I'm sitting here with my Pleiadian and Andromedan friends. And, you know, we were just kicking it, talking about a little extraterrestrial kind of a thing. We're having a little party together. Everybody's coming through from the galaxy. But, of course, we got to get the right directions, so we got to have the right vibration. Right vibrations is listening to Dr. Fred Bell and the Health and Sciences show on BBSRadio.com. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. Go. Where's my ticket for the ship, man?